The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
It's good to be back. Good to be back with you. Thank you for your patience. I was out yesterday, back live today, thank God. And the reason I was gone yesterday, and then we're going to get into our conversation today, kind of economic collapse 101, which you could really go back to here in the United States, the introduction of modern monetary theory. And so we're going to be a little bit historical today and a little on the nerdy side as we get into that. But you really have to look back and you can use Joe Biden as a benchmark. Interestingly enough, we can start with Joe Biden when he first became a senator back in 1972. Wow. Versus Joe Biden today and his $6 trillion budget. So we're going to go down those roads. Yesterday, though, just want to, as a reminder, yesterday I wasn't here because I was with our friends at the a graduation ceremony for Iron Academy, our great partners here, and Alan Hahn and Iron Academy, just an incredible, outstanding school for young men. And to be at a graduation ceremony where it's really an anointing and a commissioning, and these guys walk out of there, they get their own sword, like a serious, real sword. And they're anointed with oil. It's so powerful. I was so honored to be able to give the commencement address yesterday, which was entitled Babylon State University. And it was just, I'm going to get the video from that, and then I'll put it online. You guys can check that out for yourself or share it with young people in your life that are graduating, whether that's college or high school, what have you. We do graduations all at what? We do kindergarten graduation, first grade graduation, third grade graduation, halfway through fourth grade graduation. I mean, we just, everybody's got to get a participation trophy, right? So anyway, that was a great honor, and thanks to Alan Hahn and all the folks at Iron Academy. I was really blessed to be able to do that. And then our good friend David Fisher has been enjoying a little time off. And so we're going to do some catching up today. And the last time I spoke to you, David, was pre-vacation and pre-me joining the Grandfather Club. And then here we are, you back from vacation and me now a member, a proud member of the Grandfather Club. It's great to hear from you. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You're being a grandfather is much more important than me taking a bit of time off. but it's kind of like, you know, it's a yardstick and being a grandparent for the first time. I remember that, and it's just phenomenal.
Yep.
About the show today, you know, so congratulations to you and Gina on that.
Thank you.
But for the show today, it's almost like a piggy dovetailing with your graduation ceremony. We should call it Babylon Financial 101 Back to the Future or something like that.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, there's a whole lot in there, and I'm excited about this. We haven't really done a show like this in the past, so I really appreciate your throwing this this curveball in here, but it's not a curveball because we're going to hit it out of the park. Well, you'll do most of the hitting. But I've been reading through two different textbooks of U.S. history because I'm going to teach for the first time high school homeschoolers this fall. I'm going to teach a two-semester U.S. history course, and so I'm in a history mode right now, and a lot of people all of us have been affected by modern monetary theory or MMT, but most people don't understand it. So there's a lot going on here, and we are in an inflationary environment. We're going to talk about Janet Yellen today, all kinds of crazy stuff going on. But how do we kind of start down this road historically, David? Because this is something that, as I've been reading history books, present-day America makes a lot more sense to me as I study our past going back 400 or 500 years. But on this one, it's a big deal as well as we look at MMT.
Well, this will make a whole bunch of sense to everything we've been talking about on your program for 6 years. So the whole monetary system for centuries has been based upon hard assets, gold and silver as the money. Then we went and had our paper money backed by gold and silver. And then we went into this new thing that's not been ever been tested in history called modern monetary theory, where in essence we print paper out of thin air and there's nothing backing it anymore. And it's an experiment. Unfortunately, the laboratory experiments is going to be a failure, complete failure. And that's what we're going to come up here against And we're on the threshold of that right now. And this will all make sense once we dive into this.
Yeah, and I appreciate that terminology, a laboratory experiment. So you can look at it. It's called fiat money, and it's worth whatever we decide it's worth or what the government says it's worth. And those two worlds collide. And looking at it experimentally as something that came out of a lab, for example, reminiscent of Wuhan. This one didn't start in Wuhan. It started here in the good old USA. But it's so amazing to consider it and look at it. So where did it start? How did it start? Like, who cracked this thing open?
Well, modern monetary theory, first of all, is it's the framework that says sovereign countries like the United States, UK, Japan, and Canada, which normally gathers revenue from taxation, they can get money a different way by creating money out of thin air. To put it simply, governments now don't need to rely on taxes. They create money, create borrowing, create overspending. They create this money out of thin air. They don't have to worry about having a budget anymore, like a regular household.
Right.
And so modern monetary theory, the idea of it, challenges conventional centuries of belief, the way governments and countries and the economy and the world has interacted in the terms of money, defying those principles, those core beliefs, and saying, let's just print money out of thin air. There's no ramifications for that. There's no budgets needed. We call it a budget, but we always overspend the budget. There's no checks and balances anymore. And when inflation happens, it's not a big deal either. So it sounds ludicrous.
Yeah.
But that's the basis of modern monetary theory in a nutshell. We can go way more in depth. But it was developed by American economist Warren Mosler. He called it Mosler's Law. They put it into place in the United States in the early 70s when Nixon took us off a gold standard in 1971. And the whole belief of Mosler's Law is, let's ignore some basic principles. What happened in other countries like ancient Rome when they devalued their coins, Venezuela, Weimar Germany, assume that the dollar's going to last forever because it's most desired, and we have this big country called United States that will never fall, there will never have any financial problems.
Right.
Never any financial crisis, and inflation is a non-factor. It sounds just idiocracy,
yeah,
but that's the
yeah.
factual matter of it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. And again, just thank everybody, as we're coming up on a break, David, just thank everybody that we get off of hard assets. We no longer back our money with gold. We just print money and then decide it's worth. The market gets involved. And so now you've created a fictional story with a fictional character, and you just change the rules as you go along. So what we did is we created a bunch of drug addicts, and then we gave them unlimited access to more and more credit cards to buy more and more drugs. And now here we are all these years later, 50 years later, and we're totally hooked and we're dying. We're overdosing on modern monetary theory. We're talking to David Fisher with Landmark Gold. We'll be right back. Just watching the numbers roll in the red. And there's 100,000, and there's 100,000, and there's 100,000, and there's 100,000, and there's another 100,000, and there is another 100,000, and there is another 100,000. All right, if you want to play that game with me, because this is what you do when you play modern monetary theory Monopoly, you just print more money, you print more credit cards, you just go get more, you just create more out of thin air. And then you just blow yourself into oblivion debt-wise. And I'm just looking at the U.S. debt clock, usdebtclock.org. Go there. Enjoy it. If you're having a good day, let me ruin it for you. And go there and just plug it in. Just go into the U.S. I'll put a link up right now on Facebook Live. Just go to the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook Live. The usdebtclock.org, usdebtclock.org. And all I'm doing is telling you, there's 100,000, and there's 100,000, and there's 100,000. That's how fast our debt's going up. So right now, we're at 391 million and climbing. 100,000 about every 4 seconds. Okay? And that's been largely the result of modern monetary theory. So we're talking about history, and we're talking about the components inside of this massive debt machine known as the United States of America with our good friend David Fisher, Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is the website, as always. LandmarkGold.com. David, as always, thanks so much for your time today.
Absolutely. And if you go to the future of the debt clock, the time machine, go to 2025, $50 trillion.
I just did. Yeah. Oh, look at that. $50.1 trillion.
Yeah. So I said on your program here a year ago, the debt's going to come close to doubling in the next 4 years.
Man. And which sounded, David, ludicrous.
I know.
But yet, here we are. It's going from 28.3 to 51.1 trillion in 4 years. And that's largely the child, the birth child of modern monetary theory. So almost all the theorists say there's going to be – I've done multiple shows on the Great Reset. Because when you look at the U.S. debt clock, David, and when you look at the debt situation, not only here in the United States but around the world, you see a sea of red. From sea to shining sea, from the Pacific to the Atlantic, from the north to the south, you see debt everywhere. And so the Great Reset, and they love the COVID-19 fiasco because that just centralizes more power. This is really corporatism. So there's this. It looks like it's almost inevitable that there will have to be some kind of great reset because you cannot maintain modern monetary theory forever, and we're seeing that in the numbers. So what are the theorists, the real brainy people behind this? What are they predicting?
Well, when you sow something, you're going to reap something.
Yeah.
And so we're been sowing debt. You got to pay for that debt. That's the reaping of it. You got to manage that debt. When you can't pay for it, pay it back or manage it, you have to restructure the debt or default it or steal from another area, rob Peter to pay Paul. And that's what that's what we're coming to. We're finally at the place, and most theorists are saying within the next 4 years, this is going to have a great reset. What does that mean? It means that this whole debt structure called credit, you know, all the treasuries, we haven't factored in all this recent spending yet, because that's why it's going to be more than $50
trillion. Right.
That's why I said it's going to double in 4 years. The numbers are conservative now on the future, because we haven't factored those things in yet, because we haven't spent the money. They haven't approved the bill, but it's going to get approved at some level. So this is going to be the bubble that will burst. All bubbles that become overly bigger than normal, a debt is a bubble. Just, you can't manage it, it grows, the bubble bursts. So this is going to be worse than 2008. I'm not a doomsdayer. There's people out there that have nothing to do with gold are saying these things, saying this event is going to come. It's not if, it's when and how severe it will be.
Yeah.
Most theorists saying there's going to be, they call it a great reset, where there will be some sort of either massive default, massive inflation, or I say they could also seize your money, call the bail-in.
Yep.
But it's going to be a whole new change of the financial system that will go through a big metamorphosis because of the seeds that we have sowed. And so that is coming. And so that's why we talk about this, to be good stewards and prepare. Now, the sky is not falling. It's not going to happen overnight. All these theories out there that not modern monetary theorists say it's not going to happen overnight, but it's going to be a very, I don't want to say abrupt, but it's going to be a wild, turbulent, volatile season that will not be controlled until they revamp the system. Revamping it means they will back the currency by gold once again and come back to biblical fundamental financial principles right out of the book of Leviticus, which is how our country is founded on.
Yeah, imagine that.
And we come back to the throne financially on how this should have always been, or they don't do it that way, and they just default on all the debt, which would be utter financial chaos. And for the first time, the largest bond trader in the world said a month ago, Jeffrey Gundlach, he says, we have $163 trillion of total liability plus the national debt. They're going to default on it. I was blown away.
Wow.
I'm reassessing the idea. This is where we might be going. So what would happen?
Right. I've got two friends on Facebook Live right now asking about what happens if we just choose not to pay back China or Japan. Japan's a massive holder of our debt as well. What if we just default? I mean, what happens? They can say, okay, what are you going to do to us? I mean, we can't pay you. We're done.
The dollar, I don't want to say would crash, but the dollar by index is like 90. It would probably go down to the 40s or 50s, which is where it's never been before. The lowest it's ever been is 78. So that would be a crash. It'd become a third world, second world currency. Gold and silver would shoot up through the roof. The stock market would be negatively affected. You'd see the Dow off thousands of points. I'm speculating.
Yeah.
This sounds so crazy.
Right.
We don't have any point of reference except for, you know, panic like 1929. This would be a bigger panic than that. There wouldn't be food lines or anything like that. It'd just be a big financial change that would happen.
Yeah, and then, of course, China would love to take over the world's reserve currency and let it be the yuan. And then, of course, from an eschatological perspective, if we're going to factor in end times, part of me, whenever we're talking about this stuff, David, there's part of me, my Bible side, my theology side is always thinking in the background, yeah, it's setting up nicely. It's all setting up nicely for a one-world government type of one-world ruler to come in and say, actually, I've got the solution. And everybody at that point is going to be like, oh, okay, awesome. And, of course, we know as biblical Christians that that would be the Antichrist. And so that's where it's really challenging. So one of the things that we look at and one of the points that we wanted to go over is kind of where the rubber hits the road. We're going to hit a break here in a second. But just set this up real quick because I think what you want to do is compare household costs back in 72 when Joe Biden first became a senator versus household costs today, now that the president is actually Joe Biden all these years later.
Mm-hmm. So annual salary was $10,000 and now it's $95,000. The average home was $25,000, now it's $410,000. A new car costs under $4,000, now it's over $40,000. A gallon of gas was 36 cents, now it's over $3. A gallon of milk was 50 cents. Now it's $3.50. So we went from one household income to two. It doesn't work now, even with two.
Right. Even with two, you're going to get stretched. We're talking to David Fisher today, Full Money Monday, Modern Monetary Theory, and what are we reaping from what we have sown? It ain't pretty. And what do you do about it, if anything? We'll be right back. Back at Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, doing a Full Money Monday on a Tuesday, on the second Tuesday of the month, as opposed to the first Monday of the month, because, you know, things happen. So we've got our good friend David Fisher here from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is the website, as always, LandmarkGold.com. And just trying to work our way through modern monetary theory, which is basically us just printing money, creating it ex nihilo, like we think we're God, something out of nothing. And that's what we've been doing, which is why we're $28 trillion in debt right now. And you can go forward 4 years and then we go to $51 trillion. And then you flip over. I'm looking at the usdebtclock.org and you can play around with the time frame there. And then you flip over to the debt clock around the world and it's nothing but red, 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 down all these big, the biggest economies on the planet. And everybody's just swimming in their debt. And but we lead the pack. Of course, we don't know the reality in China. We don't know it, whether it's a virus or whether it's the actual status of their economy and how much money they have. But, man, it sure is messy and it can be very scary. So we're trying to take these thoughts captive. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind, which means we need to listen and we need to think and we need to pray for wisdom and discernment and we need to seek help. And that's why our good friend David Fisher is with us today, as always, each week, trying to help us understand these things. Again, David, thanks so much for your time.
Absolutely. Check this headlines out. Russia last week sold all their dollars, $186 billion from their sovereign wealth fund. They're dumping the dollar. I said it was going to happen. They announced it in Russia in a public forum.
They sold all the U.S. dollars that they were holding.
$186 billion.
Why didn't I hear about that? Why is that not all over the news?
It doesn't catch the news because the news is not concerned about the whole monetary system. We've been brainwashed in a good way. There's some good aspects of it because that's how wealth is created. But you got to manage the debt. So we've been brainwashed to looking at what's going on with the world. Our foreigners that usually have been buying our dollars, supporting the debt system, them selling, they don't want to alarm us.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. You know, they've been saying, we don't want to alarm you when we're going to have inflation because we're not going to have inflation. They've been saying that for decades.
Right.
We've had 40 years where we haven't had inflation, real inflationary numbers, until right now.
Yeah.
So you're not going to hear that. that verbiage.
They're just going to keep perpetuating this lie, and that's why we have to be informed. We have to be aware so that we can be good stewards of whatever the Lord has given us, financially speaking. So you were talking about some numbers kind of going from cost of living in 1972 to today. So we see these massive increases by factors of 10 and so on and so forth. So why the drastic increase? Why does it cost so much more money to live today than it did in 1972? We know there's inflation, but that should be reasonable cost of living over time. But yeah, this is beyond that.
Well, so I said gas was 36 cents a gallon. If we go back to in the 1960, it was 31 cents. Milk was only a penny more from one decade to another.
Wow.
So there wasn't a big change until the 70s happened. And the reason why is we took gold off our currency. And we created this whole new theory, MMT, Modern Monetary Theory. And we're paying for that, and we'll continue to pay for it until the Great Reset happens.
Yeah,
the reset is not something they're going to want to do. It's going to be forced into doing. Just like the Fed does not want to raise rates, they're going to be forced to raising rates. I said that before, and now they're on the cusp of doing that. So when you look at the government spending, we didn't have a national debt. It was $211 billion in 1971, 72.
Wow. So the government debt
was $187 billion. So we could pay for our debt, basically.
Yeah, we were close. We were in the ballpark.
We're only 12%, almost 13% off. You know, we're 200 and some odd percent off now.
And
we're going to spend $6 trillion. We're only taking in less than $2 trillion of revenue.
Yeah, so you look at that and go, okay, if I'm running a business and I've got less than $2 trillion coming in sales, but my costs are $6 trillion. You sit there, anybody looks at that, whether you're a fourth grader learning about supply and demand or a PhD or just a normal person out here on the street, we all know, we look at that and go, well, that's not sustainable. That's stupid. That's not even a good business. Yet our government is doing that. A $6 trillion budget proposal, which is just beyond imagination.
Yeah. Yeah, but that goes back to Mosler's law, where you don't have to pay attention to have a government doesn't have to function like a corporation or like a household income and have, budget that they have to live by. MMT does not have to live by those same fundamentals, and there'll be no ramifications. That's all good in theory, and that's what MMT is. Theory.
Right.
Reality says different, and that's where reality now is coming to fruition.
Well, what are some of the realities, speaking of that, what are some of the realities or the details about Biden's $6 trillion budget proposal, and how do they handle even paying for that? I mean, they know they're in the red, but how are they communicating this, and what in the world is in that $6 trillion beast?
Well, $4 trillion is part of the previous layout plan of the American Jobs Plan, the American Families Plan. That's $4 trillion, which is the infrastructure, jobs, and economic proposal that the president previously laid out and is negotiating with lawmakers. So another $2 trillion is a whole bunch of things that I really don't have time to get into. I have the whole list. It's a really long one. There's about $2 trillion besides the $2 trillion that they should have put in there that Biden campaigned upon and said he's going to put it in the budget, but he never got it in there because it'd be $8 trillion, and nobody would ever even look at an $8 trillion budget. What I'm referring to is, remember the public option healthcare plan? You can get your own healthcare. That's $1.5 trillion, just that alone, and then he wanted to revamp Social Security and Social Security income. That's another half a trillion. And plus, can't even address the education of where, his wife, Jill, is a teacher, K through 12, spending at higher education levels. He promised that. That was missing. And there's lots of other things that are, I don't have time to go into it, but they're predicting that it's going to pay for itself. Okay. It's insane. When is the budget hasn't paid for itself in 30 years, at least 20. And this is not going to be any different.
No, it's not any different, and you've got the vast majority of the American people, until it actually starts to ruin your daily life, because that's what a modern monetary theory allows you to do. They just keep printing. You just keep the dream alive. You just keep fudging the numbers, and you keep printing more money. And so you, but sooner or later, that shoe drops. And when it drops, everybody's going to get affected. And I'm sure that's the number one question people listening to this right now, David, are thinking is like, when's this going to happen? How bad is it? Do we know that? Do we know where the bottom falls out of this whole system? Is there any way to predict that? Or we just kind of sit there and go, okay, it's getting worse all the time. At some level, this is going to be unsustainable. How do we kind of deal with that? Because sooner or later, our debt, our national debt, we're not even going to be able to pay for the interest.
Yeah. So I don't know the day or the hour, but I know the season, and we're in the beginning of the season. And here's why. Because people says, oh, yeah, they've always had this national debt. Yeah, exactly. We've always been able to get by with it. Exactly. But we've never been in an inflationary environment where $28 trillion and $6 trillion and all these big numbers that they're going to spend into right. oblivion. And we never had budget deficits like this. It all worked just fine when we had lower numbers and we did not have inflation. We are now moving into an inflationary environment. I said on your program, like we talked, that, hey, Biden's going to release a $6 trillion budget. I know. People thought I was crazy. I said a lot of things that were on your program that, and this is not tooting my own horn, that were just sounds crazy and insane. I said he's going to spend $10 trillion ultimately, and here we are, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to say something. I said something else about 6 months or so, maybe a year ago, that when we get to the place where we'll be forced to say we have to have inflation or raise rates, they're going to tell us it's a good thing. I don't know if you remember me saying that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, sure. They're going to sell it that way.
Janet Yellen on Sunday, last Sunday, over the weekend, speaking at a G7 conference, which is seven of the largest countries in the world, said higher interest rates would be good for the country. Now, explain how there's any saneness in that quote when oil is moving faster than the wages, when lumber is moving faster than wages, when food is moving faster than wages. And the reason they don't factor those things in is because they don't want us to admit that the emperor has no clothes,
right.
That we do already have inflation, but they're saying we haven't had inflation. We really have. But now they're admitting we have inflation and we have to do something about it, and that's raising rates. And our Secretary of Treasury is telling us that is a good thing. I thought I fell off my chair when I read it.
Right,
it was like
sure.
insane. This they're conditioning us to saying get ready for this inflationary environment. It will be good. It will not be good. It's going to be the biggest event that will change our life financially.
Yeah, because all of a sudden, everything that you can afford right now will increasingly become unaffordable. And then what do? I'm going to sell this, I'm going to sell that, my stocks, my cash, my whatever. And then you're like, okay, that's not going to work. And that's why we have to pay attention and why we have to get educated. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Wow, Steve, this isn't very fun, this conversation. Yeah, no kidding. But it doesn't need to be fun. It needs to be accurate. It needs to be sober-minded. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we should be dealing in truth. Sober-mindedness, whether that ends up affecting your own home, your own operations, your country, whatever, we're to be people of the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said right in front of Pontius Pilate, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world to testify to the truth. He was talking about the truth of the kingdom, but every other truth falls behind that as well. As opposed to our nation, where we're not talking about truth. We're just talking about maintaining power because of fallen human nature and depravity. And we're talking to David Fisher today, Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is the website, as always. So this is what we're talking about. I'll bring it back on here in just a second, David. Thanks to Renee on Facebook for sharing this. Despite skyrocketing inflation, Janet Yellen will keep pushing for Biden's spending agenda. This was on the Daily Wire, which I subscribe to because I want to help support alternative media sources, especially conservative and truthful ones. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen believes that the Biden administration's spending agenda is worthwhile, despite potential spikes in inflation. In an interview with Bloomberg News on Sunday, Yellen affirmed that, quote, if we ended up with a slightly higher interest rate environment, can you hear the hiss of the snake? As a result of President Biden's proposed outlays, it would, quote, actually be a plus for society's point of view and the Fed's point of view. What does that even mean? A plus. So that's just political doublespeak, trying to continue to pull the wool over our eyes. The question is, Will we willingly go along with it like we did with everything COVID? That's a big question for all of us. And again, David, thanks for being here. And so we were talking about kind of this massive increase of budgeting spending. And so they just tack it on to the national debt, 28 point whatever trillion. And what happens when the interest rates go up? Is this kind of like a little bomb that's exploding? And a bunch of people on Facebook Live keep asking the same question. What's the time prediction? What's the time prediction? When's this going to hit? But let's talk about that. We just tack it on to debt and interest rates go up. Then what?
Well, it's, first of all, it's already starting. But, you know, people, there's no, you're not going to hear the headlines. It started today.
Right.
Or it started last week. Or it's starting next month. You're not going to hear that. But you have to pay attention to the headlines. Janet Yellen is a headline. She's telling us it started. So let's look at how this actually works. Yes, they just tack it on the debt. But here's the key. Over the last 35 years, close to 40 years, the 10-year U.S. Treasury, which is the number one thing where how we create our debt, create this thing called the 10-year Treasury, create all these instruments, a 7-year, 20-year, but the Treasury 10-year is the key. It's been in a downturn for 35 years. The yield is what I'm talking about.
Right.
I don't get all technical, but this is, if you saw a chart, a picture's worth 1,000 words, it tells the story. Something big is getting ready to happen right now. A big change over the last 35 years that's been going one way, it's going to go the other way. So this has allowed us to make debt and issue debt at cheap rates. That's why we went, you know, from a $1.9 trillion decades ago to $28 trillion today, not factoring in, you know, the $6 trillion here and the $4 trillion there and all these other trillions. That's why it's going to get to $50 trillion in the next 4 years. If the Treasury yield was to spike, go up, and reverse this downturn trend, which it is going to do, it broke out one time in 2018, December, and stocks took a 20% nosedive in a matter of days, and gold rallied aggressively. Gold was much cheaper back then in 2018 than it is now. So this gives us a picture of what's getting ready to happen. When we look at the 70s, what was the number one asset? Silver. Silver was the best hedge during the inflation. It was $1.50. It went to $50 in the 70s. Gold averaged 31% a year annually for 9 years. The Dow had a 50% correction in 1973 because of going into MMT and causing massive inflation, and it only had a 2% uptick in 9 years, the Dow.
Wow.
So we move forward, and we cannot deny we are going to have inflation. Yellen is saying inflation. The markets are screaming we're going to have inflation, and this is why it's so imperative. Even I'll go as far as, even if you don't want to do this through my company, learn about why it makes sense to have a portion to 7, a portion to 8, the scripture said, because you do not know what tragedy may befall you. I have a portion of your money in gold and silver because we're not going to be able to fight inflation. And the Bank of England, the chief economist over the weekend said, quote, avoid inflation like the plague, end quote. I've never heard a central banker say such a thing. So this is in the news. Inflation is coming. It's going to be like we've never experienced before because our monetary system has never been like this before. And this is how they're going to deal with the debt, one of three ways.
Yeah, that's why I was saying earlier, David, I think I was saying it on a break so you didn't hear me, that this is like trying to understand exactly what would happen here once all this does, in fact, pardon my French, hit the fan. But it's kind of like in 10 years before 9/11, trying to imagine hijacking jet airliners and flying them into North Tower, South Tower, the Pentagon, and one crashes in a field in Pennsylvania. You just didn't have any way to imagine that. The average person just couldn't. And I think this is what we're dealing with here, is you can talk predictions and you can run war games kind of scenarios, but I really don't think we can accurately predict what in the world happens when all this starts to collapse. But the precious metals piece is something, because we do have history to look at that. And when the economic system is collapsing and really struggling and correcting, gold and precious metal does the opposite thing. So what will happen to our stocks? Because most people's investment portfolios are almost exclusively in stocks and mutual funds and stuff.
Well, look at 2008. Within 2008, most people don't realize this, that the Fed called a private meeting amongst 10 of the biggest banks in the world in the United States and forced them to buy massive amount of U.S. debt. And that's how they fixed the system. It took quite 4 years. But if they wouldn't have done that, 2008, the collapse that we had would have been 10 times bigger if they wouldn't have done what they did. We came within literally 2 days of a major, major worst collapse than 1929 in 2008 if they wouldn't have done that. That all worked back good and fine and dandy then because the world was buying our debt. The world is now selling our debt.
Right.
There's
just
no
like
way they can do this time. That's why they created the Dodd-Frank Act, the bail-in. That's why we're going to have either that or a massive inflation. It's going to be a different picture, and it's not going to be a pretty one. And I'm not a doomsdayer, but it is coming and is going to happen at unprecedented levels. That's why it's imperative to don't have so much in any one asset class. Yeah. Don't put 100%. It'd be wrong to put 100% or 90% of your money into gold. It'd be wrong to have a 90 or 100% your money in stocks right now. It's great when the market's moving up, but I said it's going to slow down the market, and look what's going on.
Yeah.
We've had 3 months of where the market has not been performing, and it's not going to perform for the next few years until we have this adjustment, because there's nothing driving it. The Fed is going to pull back on the pedal.
Yeah, it's really crazy. So for people to get information and begin to educate themselves, David, what do you suggest in terms of here's some resources? And these are some things. Somebody's like, okay, I'm willing to get educated. What would be your encouragement and advice for them?
Well, you can go through my company and get an investment packet and learn about it. There's no pressure there. You can go to our YouTube series and learn about these things. You can go to the internet. It's pretty obvious it's going to happen. But, you know, look who you're going to build a relationship with. And there's a reason I'm on your program for the last 6 years, because you've checked me out and I've proven to be worthy of your time. So I say call my company, get a packet, get those questions answered through an interactive conversation. There will never be any pressure, never coercion or any of that. We can document everything we say and get the facts and learn. And then you determine, once you have knowledge, not lack of knowledge now, but have knowledge, what is best for you. And that will be their decision.
Yeah, and that, of course, the scripture just screaming at us, people perish for lack of knowledge. So you can't claim ignorance on this one, because we all have opportunities, whether it's talking to David or some other group or just spending time investigating online. There's more than enough resources out there. But if you're just going to, I'm not going to worry about it because I'll be in heaven one day. Okay, that's fine. And yes, I praise the Lord through the blood of Jesus Christ that I'll be in heaven one day too. But I don't know when that day's coming, and I have a wife and kids and responsibilities that I have to pay attention to. That's why this is a great opportunity to get educated. And yes, David has proven himself time and time again, and also a brother in Christ. But that's the onus is on us, David, to get educated and to make wise, discerning decisions. Because this problem, this perfect storm is coming. And I know you can't tell us when, but we know that it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And since we don't know when, we need to be taking steps today to really get educated and probably make some tough decisions and get our financial houses in order.
You know, I'd rather build my financial ark 2 years before the flood than 2 days too later, because it's 2 days too late. And that's all this is about. How do you build it? You got to learn about it first.
Yeah.
And then you can see what makes sense for you. So we believe, being good stewards, this has nothing to do with salvation. This is stewardship. If you knew 2008 was coming and it's going to be severe than 2008, and you lost money before, and gold and silver was an asset to hold that protected you, it would make sense to just check into it.
Right, exactly. So if people want to get more information, David, what should they do?
Give us a call, 844-879-8882, or they can go to our website, landmarkgold.com.
And gaining information isn't going to cost you anything. All this other stuff will, but gaining information doesn't. It's pretty easy, and David's right there offering some assistance to you. So let's make sure we are taking care of what the Lord has given us. Let's be good stewards. David, always great to hear from you. Thank you for all your work and helping us understand these things. It's so important. We just praise the Lord for you, buddy. Thanks so much.
Thank you, my brother.
All right, pal. We'll talk again real soon. That was David Fisher. LandmarkGold.com is his website, as always. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll be back again tomorrow. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.